Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Eruvin Daf Chof Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 5 lines from the top. In fact, the opening of today's shiur is a Tanaic source that you can see in a frame, which in fact has been quoted in our previous sugya. So the Gemara Kufa. Lo hutru pase biros elo lebehemo bilvad. The idea of a pit enclosure, a pit of water enclosed, is a leniency stated only for the benefit of giving animals to drink. Avol adam metapes v'oile metapes v'yoreid. But a person, if he wants to drink and he encounters a pit in a public thoroughfare, the pit being a private domain, he must climb down into the pit and climb up, scaling the pit to get to the water. V'imhoyu rechovin, if the walls are wide, afilu la'odom nami, then even for a person, we will allow the heter of pasi biros. Of course, we've spoken about pasi biros already since the beginning of this perek, so he who is new to this topic had best learn the previous topic. V'lo yimali odom mayim v'itein lifnei behemto. A person should not fill up water from a pasi biros and hold the vessel in front of his animal and hold it while the animal drinks. Avol mimali hu v'shofech lifnei behemo. Rather, he fills up a vessel and pours it in front of the animal, the shoysmila, and the animal drinks on its own. The Gemara asks, Maskif lo rav onon im kain ma ho'ilu pasi biros. If you can't give the animal to drink, so of what benefit is there from pasi biros? The Gemara asks in response, why are you asking this question? Ma ho'ilu? Of what benefit is pasi biros l'malos mehen, to fill up water from the pit and bring it to the surface? The pit is a private domain. The surface is a road, is a public thoroughfare. By putting the pasi biros, the right angle type corners to it, you are able to draw water from the pit and bring it up to the surface. So why are you asking of what benefit is there in pasi biros? The benefit is obvious. So the Gemara explains what the question is. Elama ho'il rosha v'ruba shel pora. The Mishnah that spoke about the pasi biros also spoke about the majority of the animal being within the pasi biros. But if you're saying that you can't even give the animal to drink, but rather you have to pour the water out and let the animal drink on its own, what is the purpose in insisting on having the head and the majority of the animal within the pasi biros? Omar Abaye. Now, here we have a Gemara, which in a sense is essentially a repeat. It's basically the third time we're seeing this quote from in the Gemara. We saw it back on Daf Chof a couple of times. And you'll see in the three lines from here, toward the end of the line it says V'chule, where the Gemara is essentially saying go back to Daf Chof and go over the whole discussion as it was presented over there. So here the Gemara is rather terse. Omar Abaye. Abaye explains that, and what we're saying now is based on Rashi on Daf Chof Amud Beis, Dibur HaMaschil HaItmar. So we're going to speak out some points that you don't see in the words. So it's as follows, that basically Rosh of Ruba is essential, is necessary, where you are not holding the animal, but you are holding the vessel in which it is drinking. And that is where the animal is located inside a pasi biros. In this source that we said you shouldn't fill up water and give to an animal, it's not talking about the simple case of an animal standing outside the Pasei Biros and Rosh of Ruba is inside, but rather, Hocho B'mai Askinon, this case is something else. Be'evus Ha'oimed B'shus HaRabim, it's talking about a feeding trough that essentially is in a public thoroughfare, with the dimensions of Gavo Asora for Rochav Arba, it has a height of 10 Tfachim and a width of 4 Tfachim, and you can see the illustration that we've already referred to a few times, illustration 26 on page 46, you can see the feeding trough in a public thoroughfare, and the dimensions are shown on the picture. And the rosho nichnas lebein pasim, and the end of the feeding trough reaches to the area within the pasim, v'chulei. And then you have to replay the whole Gemara from Dav Chofo Medbeis, where why is it that we want you to pour the water into the feeding trough that is between the pasim? That's because of the issue of you might find a crack in the feeding trough itself and end up carrying the pail eventually from the street back into the feeding trough. And what we're saying is very, very terse. It's all based on the Gemara back on the Af Chof Amud Beis. So that after all is said and done, the halacha of Pasei Biros is beneficial for allowing the drawing of water from the pit to the surface. And if the animal is standing rosho v'ruba within the Pasei Biros, and you're not holding the animal, but you're holding a vessel from which it will be drinking, so that will be allowed. And the restriction featured in the source above over here is because we're not talking about the animal standing in the Pasei Biros per se, but rather it's the feeding trough model. We continue in the Gemara with a new topic. On the side, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading. You will notice diamonds along the side of the Gemara, and they are noted as Aleph and Beis. These represent Shnei Lishonos, two versions regarding the topic Be'ein Borginin Bebovel, the Ein Pasei Biros Bechutzlaretz, Haim Ipcho Avdinon. We will see a statement in the Gemara that there's no din of borgenin in Bavel. To appreciate what a borgen is, a borgen is a little booth. There's an illustration 28, which illustrates what a borgen might be. And that halacha of borgenin says that if you come to measure the tchum of a city, you measure 2,000 amos from the outer edge of the city, and you have 2,000 amos in all directions around the city in which you can walk on Shabbos. That's called Chum Shabbos, a topic that we've spoken about in the past. From what point exactly do you measure the 2,000 amos? So a city's boundary is said to extend as long as there are some form of dwelling outside the city. In other words, you end up going to the last dwelling before you start the measuring. The dwellings, even if they happen to be huts, they serve to extend the city as long as these huts are within 70 and two-thirds amos of the city. So in Bavel, we will be taught this institution, if you will, this legal institution called Borgenin, huts extending a city, does not come into play. In other words, we disregard any huts in Bavel, and you would rather measure from the city itself and not from the huts that extend beyond the city itself. The other point that's made in the Gemara is there's no din of Pasei Biros in Chutzlaretz. Chutzlaretz is literally outside the land of Israel, but it's also to the exclusion of Bavel. You find in the Shas, Bavel on many occasions is treated as a separate entity, even though it is outside of Eretz Yisrael. It has its own significance, its own legal category. So our Gemara then in our two Lashonos will be asking, okay, granted that you said there's no Borgenin in Bavel and no Pasei Biros regarding a pit in Chutz La'aretz, what about Pasei Biros in Bavel, and what about Burgenin in Chutzlaretz? So we continue in the Gemara with the first Lashon, Omar Rav Yirmiyahu Ba'aba, Omar Rav, Ein Burgenin Bebavel, Velo Pasei Biros Bechutza La'aretz. And the Gemara explains. We go over them, number 1 and 2 again. Burgenin Bebavel Lo, why is it that Burgenin is something we don't recognize in Bavel? Deshchichi Bidki. Bavel is a land where there was a lot of water flowing, and it was often that there were gushes of water that would flow. It could be after a rainfall, or in general, there were lots of streams that overflowed. Whatever the case is, these flows of water would wash away the Burgenin, so these huts would have no significance. And therefore, you can't say that the city's limits are measured from something that has no significance. Pasibros b'chutzlaretz lo. Likewise, with regard to the heter, the leniency of pasei biros, with regard to chutzlaretz, we say that it doesn't exist. The lo shchichi mesifta. Mesifta is a reference to yeshivas. In outside of Israel, outside of Bavel, here we'll focus on Bavel. Outside of Bavel, there weren't yeshivas, so there wasn't a lot of travel. If you recall, we spoke about the heter of Pasei Biros in Eretz Yisrael for the Oilei Regolim, for the people coming three times a year on the holidays to Yerushalayim, and they needed to have a supply of water on the way. Likewise, there is a heter of Pasei Biros for the Talmidim. In other words, that the heter of Pasei Biros isn't only for Oilei Regolim, but it's for the Talmidim, the students going to learn Torah, going from community to community. And Rashi says, Oilei Regolim is an example of someone who is going to a Devar Mitzvah. Someone's on his way to perform a Mitzvah. So we made an allowance for the Pasei Biros, even though it's an example of an enclosure that's mostly open. And we've said on numerous occasions that that itself is an unusual leniency. But if you're on your way to do a Devar Mitzvah, and it's a common phenomenon, like Oilei Regolim, or like in Bavel, where there was always movement from community to community to learn Torah, so we have this allowance. Avol, the Gemara goes on. Ipcho avdinon. So even though in Chutzlaretz there weren't these yeshivas, so we don't have a heter for Pasei Biros, but Burgenin in Chutzlaretz and Pasei Biros in with regard to Bavel, that we will allow. Ika diamri, another version of Rav Yirmiyahu Bar Abba, Omar Rav Yirmiyahu Bar Abba Marav, Ein Burgenin uPasei Biros, Lo beBavel, Velo beChutzlaretz. So we have four elements here. In Bavel, there's no Burgenin nor Pasei Biros. Likewise, with regard to Chutzlaretz, and here the Gemara explains each one of the elements. Burgenin beBavel lo, as we explained already, deShchichi Bidki. BeChutzlaretz nami lo. In Chutzlaretz, there are no Burgenin either. Deshchichi ganvi. We didn't mention earlier, but these Burgenin were huts. They were huts used often by guards, people that would guard the city. But it was a very flimsy type dwelling. So in Chutzlaretz, they didn't have it because it would be of no value. There are a lot of thieves and possibly murderers in Chutzlaretz, and these huts wouldn't offer any protection. Therefore, they are of no chashivos if you see them in Chutzlaretz. Pasei Biros beBavel lo deShchichi Maya. Bavel does not have a need for the heter, for the leniency of Pasei Biros, because Bavel is a region where there is a lot of water. Water is in great supply anyway. The Pasei Biros leniency was only for a place where there is there's no alternative water supply. So they need to have the water collected in the pits, and hence the leniency. The Chutzlaretz, nami lo, Pasei Biros vis-a-vis Chutzlaretz, also no heter for it. The lo shchichi mesifta, there weren't yeshivas in Chutzlaretz that would justify the Pasei Biros. Now we see a question that lasts a number of lines. Omar le Rav Chisda le Mori Braid Rav Huna Braid Rav Yirmiyahu Bar Abba. So Rav Chisda says to Mori, who you notice was a grandson of Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba. Now the name Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba is of significance. We saw him just a few lines up where he was underlined and also quoting Rav. So Rav Chisda says to the grandson of Rav Yirmiyahu, Amri, it has been said, Asisu mi Barnish. Barnish is the name of a place. Asisu means you've come from Barnish, Lebei Knishta to Didoniel, to the Shul of Doniel. But we'll refer to the Shul of Doniel as a place. So you came from, it's been said, you've come from Barnash to this Beit Knishta Doniel place. The distance between Barnash and the Beit Knishta Doniel is 3 parsa. 3 parsa, each parsa is 4 mil. A mil is approximately a kilometer. A mil is 2,000 amos. A mil is the distance that you are limited to on Shabbos. Now, how is it that you were able to, that you walked from Barnash to Beit Knishta Doniel, which is not 1 mil, but rather 12 mil on Shabbos? Amai Samchisu, what did you rely on? In other words, from Barnash to Beit Knishta Doniel, you're going from one community, from a city to this place, Beit Knishta Doniel, what were you relying on? Aborganin, on huts that extended from Barnash till the Beit Knishta Doniel. Ho Omar Avua di Avua, but your grandfather, your father's father said, Mishmei de Rav, in the name of Rav, Ein Borganin Bebovel. And that's what we saw quoted just above, that Bebovel does not have a heter of Borganin. We mentioned because the Shechichi Bidki. Nofak the Achfile, so Mori, who was Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba's grandson, who traveled this distance, went out. Nofaki went out. And you can see illustration 29, what he is about to show him. The Achfile, and Mori showed Rav Chisda, Hano Masvisa de Mivlein Beshivin Amo Vashirayim. Rashi explains, Masvisa Ayoros Harevos Venisharu Shom Mechitzos Min Habotim. There were ruins, there were cities, or there were communities that had existed between Barnash and Beit Knishta Doniel. They were currently in ruins, but there were walls that remained from the houses. And based on the Gemara on Daf Nun Hey, which Rashi quotes, those also serve to extend a city's limits, even though it's not an actual house. It's the remnants of houses. Also, as we said, extends the city's limits. So, from Barnash to Beit Knishta Doniel, there was really no extent of 2,000 amos without any structures in there. And when we say structures, we're talking about these ruins, which you can see in Halacha has more significance than the Borganin. Of course, that's in the vis-a-vis Bavel. As we continue in the Gemara, we notice a new topic and structural note on the side. Under the Nosei Mivne heading, let's read what we have. Nevuah, we'll see the Gemara features an issue or a prophecy, al Megillah Ofa Ba'avir. A Megillah is a scroll that is envisioned floating in the air. And this turns out to be a Moshal al HaTorah, she P 3,200 Gedolah, P 3,200 times larger, Mikol HaOlam, that the Torah is represented in this Gemara, which primarily we're talking about the oral tradition, is vastly larger than the entire universe. This is a very, we'll say, profound, very deep topic. What it represents is very hard for us in the context of a Dafyomi Gemara marking shir to get into, but suffice it to say, we will be looking into the idea, the concept that the Torah is a much vaster area of chokhmah, of wisdom, of knowledge, of whatever, much more so than everything contained in the physical world as such. Oftentimes people will say to those who are studying Torah, is that all you do? You just study Torah? That type of comment is is a priori false, because to say just study Torah is implying that there is something beyond Torah, when in fact it's the opposite, where the entire existence is contained within the wisdom of Torah. Don't forget, Torah is a representation of divine wisdom. It comes from the Almighty. So in that context, it would have an unlimited aspect to it. And here the fact that the Gemara is even quantifying it is something that requires some further analysis. But sometimes it's necessary to say things in ways that that human beings can begin to appreciate it, realizing that there is probably more beyond this altogether. But this is a section of Gemara that will be featuring the vastness of Torah, and hence the very least for each one of us to gain from this is a type of, we'll say, immeasurable, unlimited respect for the Torah. As far as markings are concerned, you can see we have a house marking, and this is represents Shnei Drushos Shel Rav Chisda B'Shem Mori Bar Mar. There will be two drushes of Rav Chisda in the name of Mori Bar Mar. One is here, and you can see the second one at the second line from the bottom. The double underline that will appear shortly are a case of Omru. A number of prophets are featured, and they said something but didn't explain what they said. And diamonds will appear that actually correspond to the double underlines, where psukim that were just referred to will be reported, where they say something but they don't explain what they are saying. They will be speaking here about the vastness of something, but not saying how much. They're not giving details. They'll be talking about the vastness of Torah, but without giving the details. And that's what the diamonds introduce each one of the psukim. So now the Gemara. Omer Rav Chisda, Dorosh Mori Bar Mar, Mai Dichtiv, L'chol Tichlo Ro'isi Keitz, Rechava Mitzvascha Ma'oid. The Pasuk in Tehillim says that all things I saw their end, I saw their finite quality. The Keitz means their end, but your mitzvos are very great. Dovor Ze Omroi David Velo Pirsho. This was stated by David, but he didn't explain what the end, what the shiur is, what the dimensions are. Omroi Iyov Velo Pirsho. Iyov also expressed a similar idea, but didn't explain. Omro Yecheskel Velo Pirsho, and likewise the prophet Yecheskel said something along these lines without explaining. Ad Shebo Zechariah ben Edo the Pirsho, until Zechariah ben Edo, who was actually from the last of the prophets, he came along and finally explained this. And the Gemara now goes over the Psukim. Omro Yedovid Velo Pirsho Dichtiv. We saw this quoted just a moment ago. L'chol tichlo reisi keitz, rechava mitzvas chamaot. I saw everything else in, we'll call the physical world, having its boundaries, its finite, its ends, but your mitzvos are very wide, very large. Omroi Iyov velo pirsho, dichtiv. Iyov said something similar and didn't explain. Arucha me'eretz mido, rechava mineyom. Longer than the land and wider than the sea. Omro Yecheskel, and by the way, when you see expressions of land and sea, we're dealing with things that are associated with the physical world, and the end is, the reference here could be, in fact, to the entire physical universe as well. Omro Yecheskel, velo pirsho dichtiv, vayifrosh osa lefonai, vihik suva ponim v'ochor, v'chosuv eleho kinim Vohege vohi. The pasuk says, "Vayifrosh osa lefonai megillas Torah shebal peh herehu." He was shown as if the oral law were written in a scroll form. Let us just make a minor correction by way of the reading. The pasuk says in Yecheskel Perek Beis, pasuk Yud, Vayifros Osolof. And I, Vayifros means it was spread out in front of me. And as Rashi said, a reference to the oral tradition as if it were written out, by very definition, it's called oral tradition. So, you know, it's not something written out. But here in prophetic terms, it was ki'ilu, it was as if it were written out. And it was written ponim v'achar on front and in back. And there was written in it, Eleho kinim hege vohi. We have a bracketed section which helps if we skip momentarily and to maintain the continued flow of the different prophets. Ad shebo Zechariah ben Edo. So all of these, David, Iyov, Yechezkel, said something. They said psukim, indicating the vastness of Torah, but didn't explain it. Ad shebo Zechariah ben Edo, upirsho, and until he comes along and explains. And he will give numbers, which will then demonstrate the vastness of Torah. Within the brackets, the Gemara explains the words that we just saw in the Yechezkel Pasuk, three words, and we highlight them with triangles to explain them. So let's go back to the brackets. Kinim, in this scroll that Yechezkel saw, it was mentioned that there was written inside of it Kinim. Zu pur onusun shel tzadikim b'olam hazeh. So reference to the travails, the punishments, the difficulties of the righteous in this world. We speak about the righteous and reward and punishment. One of the fundamental aspects of Judaism is the belief that the primary form of reward for the righteous is in the world to come. So, this pasuk is making a reference to that the trials, the punishments of the tzaddikim are actually in this world. V'cheinu omer, and likewise there is a pasuk that says or explains the word kinim having to do with puronus, with punishments. It says, kino hi v'konenuha. Now this pasuk is in the context of the destruction of Mitzrayim at the hands of the Babylonians. That's the only reason this pasuk is quoted, to show that the word kino is a reference to destruction and downfall. So it's as the pasuk in Yechezkel is referring to, as we say, the punishments that that righteous people must suffer, they will do so in this world, in the physical world as we know it. Vahege zu matan schoran shel tzadikim lasadlovo. That's a reference to the reward of the tzadikim in the world to come that he saw written in this scroll, and that the word hege is a reference to simcha, and we're interchanging that with reward. Vechenu omer ale higayon vechinor. And this word higayon is in the pasuk in Tehillim associated with instruments and song and joy. Vahi, also the third word from that we want to look into in Yechezkel, zu hi pur anusan shel rishoyim la'osid lavo. This is a reference to the woe and the pain and punishment of the wicked that in the world to come. V'chenu omer hova al hova tovo. And this pasuk is a reference to destruction, and the word hova in he have come from the same root. So, as we've said, David, Iyov, Yechezkel all said something, but didn't explain themselves. Ad shebo Zechariah ben Edo, until the prophet Zechariah came, upirsho, and explained, dichtiv, vayomer elai, moato roe, and the heavenly voice called out unto me, says the prophet, and asked, what do you see? For Omar, and I said, ani roe Megillah ofo. And now, here, the Pirush Chai offers illustrations that help to keep track of the calculations that we'll be encountering very shortly. So, if you have your Pirush Chai and you look in illustrations 31, 32, and 33, you'll see what is featured here. So, the prophet says, I see Megillah Ofa, I see a scroll that's floating, Orka Esrim Bo'amo, Rochba Esrim Bo'amo. The scroll has a length of 20 amos and a width of 10 amos. The chipashtis law, and when you open it up, because right now it's folded over, so when you open it up, havila esrim besrim, it will measure 20 by 20. So, uksiv, and it also says, And we saw this in Yecheskel. We saw this referred to before. That it's written on both sides. So you have this unfolded Megillah written on two sides. So that if it measures right now 20 by 20, and you want to, let's say, express the area of that of the writing, how much area is taken up by the writing, so in your mind's eye you would split in the thickness of the scroll, you would split it, and that's what the Gemara says here, V'chikalfis law. This is illustrated in 33, when you split it so that all of the two sides of the writing are laid out in front of you. Kama havilo, how much will it be now? Arboin be'esrim, it'll measure 40 amos by 80 amos. 40 by 20, that is. 40 by 20, and that comes out to an area of 800 square amos. So this Megillah, which, as we said, represents the Torah Shebaal Peh, represents the Oral Torah, measures 800 square amos. Uksiv, there's another pasuk that says, Mi modar b'sholo mayim v'shomayim bazeres tikein. The word bazeres is a reference to a half an amo. This pasuk is describing the mayim and the shemayim, the world, the universe, if you will, is described in quantitative terms as a chatzi, as a half an amma, a half an amma square. What you have to do in your mind's eye, and you can see not only in your mind's eye, but the Pirush Chai illustration, shows you that how many half amma squares will you find in 800 square ammas. So in one square amma, there are 4 one-half square ammas. So if that's in one amma, there are 4 chatzi amos, 4 square chatzi amos, and the chatzi amma represents the universe. So in 800, there are 3,200 of these half amma squares. Nimtso kol olam kulo, the entire cosmos, the entire creation, is echod mishloishes alofim umasai b'torah, is 1/3,200th of the Torah. So when we speak about the physical world and all the wisdom that's contained therein, all the laws of nature and the secrets of creation, the universe, and everything that's contained therein, is a very small fraction of the of what's represented by the wisdom of the Torah. The Gemara continues after presenting what we said should be a basis of inordinate respect that each one of us should gain for Torah, Torah study, Torah life, Torah preoccupation with the Torah, for the very simple reason that the Torah is so vast and so all-encompassing that one who merits being involved with Torah study should realize what he is really occupied with. The Omar Rav Chisto, Dorish Mori Bar Mar. Again, Rav Chisto quotes Mori Bar Mar. My dichtiv, v'hinei shnei dudoei teinim mu'odim lifnei heichal Hashem. That's posuk aleph in Yirmiyahu Chof Dalet. And then the next posuk bay says, hadud echot teinim toibes mo'id kise'enei ha-ba-kuros. Vadud echot teinim ros mo'od ashelo te'ochalno me'roa. And you can see that we've gone to the top of Omid Beis. The psukim that we have just seen describe a vision of two cauldrons or two pots of teinim, our figs. And one of these cauldrons, one of these siros, these pots, has good quality ones, and the other has poor quality figs in it. The Gemara now, second line from the top of Omid Beis, explains. Teinim hatovos elu tzadikim gemurim. The good figs is a representation of the completely righteous. Teinim rohoros elu rishoyim gemurim. Those are the completely wicked. might say, well, once someone reaches a status of being a Rosh HaGomor, a totally wicked individual, he has no hope. That's Ovad Sivra Mubotel Sikuyim, is an expression referring to their no hope for anything good in the future. Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk also says, Hadudoim Nosnu Reach. Elu v'elu asidim shi'itnu reach. These and these, the righteous and the wicked, will in the future produce fragrance. This might be something we can tie into that which we saw on a previous daf, where Reish Lakish pointed out that even the empty ones of the Jewish people, afilu reikonim shiboch meleim mitzvahs kerimon, kefela, as the pasuk says, kefela harimon rakosech, and the one said, al tikri rakosech elo reikosayech. Rather, it's like the rimon is filled with seeds, so to your seeming empty ones, the wicked ones of the Jewish people are nevertheless filled with mitzvahs. As we continue in the Gemara, we see a bow tie form, and under our Mivneh heading, we indicate Sidra Shel Drashos Shel Rava, a series of Drashos of Rava, and you can see as you scan down the page, quite a few of these Drashos appear. Dorash Rava, my dichtiv hadudoim nosnu reach. What is meant by that? And you can see the tie-in between this and what we had just before. This is the same pasuk that was just quoted. What is meant by that? Of course, we should have mentioned maybe earlier that this is a pasuk from Shir HaShirim. So Rava says, Elu bachurei Yisrael shelo tamu tam chet. This is a reference to the young men of Israel that had no taste of sin. The pasuk goes on to say, "V'al psochenu kol megodim." Then we're going to emphasize the word megodim. Elu benois Yisrael. This is a reference to the Jewish women. Shemagidois pischein lebalehen, that they inform their husbands of their pischein. Pischein literally means their openings. But it's a reference to the woman's monthly menstrual cycle. That is a time at which a man must separate from his wife. So they inform, the women inform their husbands of when this arrives. Lishna Achrina, another take on the Megodim, is She'ogdos Pischem Lebalehem. Ogdos is an expression meaning they bind their openings for their husbands. In other words, they practice moral control, modesty, reserving their intimacy only for their husbands. Chadoshim gam yishonim dodi tzofanti loch. This is we're continuing darshaning the pasuk. Omro Knesset Yisrael lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The congregation of Israel said to the Almighty, Ribbono Shel Olam, harbe gzeros gazarti al atzmi, yoser mimashi gazarto lai v'kiyamtim. Many restrictions we imposed on ourselves more than that which you imposed upon us in the Torah. And this could very well be a reference to all kinds of rabbinic restrictions that have been imposed during the ages to protect Torah laws from being violated. So the pasuk that we just read said Chadoshim gam yishonim. Chadoshim is a reference to the new things. Those are the rabbinic teachings that were imposed or invented after the giving of the Torah. So we can use the word Chadoshim as replying to rabbinic rulings that came after, more recent than the Torah. So the new ones, the new rulings, and the old ones that go back to the Torah itself, we have kept. The word Dodi Tzofanti is, Rashi says, Shomarti kol eile l'cha l'shimcha. We kept all of them. Omar lei Rav Chisda lehu mid rabbanan davar komesader agadito kamei. Rav Chisda said to a rabbi, or one of the scholars that used to arrange agadic passages in front of him, and he asked him, "Mishmi aloch chadoshim gam yishonim mahu." Rav Chisda asks this Humrabonan, have you heard what is meant by Chadoshim Gam Yishonim? We just saw that in the pasuk quoted. We have a little star to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara. You can see just above where we saw it quoted first. So the Hahum Rabbanan says, Omar le, Elu mitzvahs kalos, ve'elu mitzvahs chamuros. One word, you have Chadoshim and Yishonim. One is a reference to the lighter mitzvahs, and one is a reference to the weightier mitzvahs. Omar le, so Rav Chisda says, v'chitur pomim pomim nitna. Chadoshim and Yishonim are words indicating a chronological sequence, passage of time, new versus old. If you are saying a lighter mitzvahs and weightier mitzvahs, you're implying that the mitzvahs were given at different times. Was that so? Was the Torah given on different occasions? Not so. The Torah was given at Mount Sinai in one shot, so to speak, on one occasion, containing all of the mitzvahs, the weightier ones with the lighter ones. Ela. So rather, what is Chadoshim Gam Yishonim? Elo halolu midivrei Torah, halolu midivrei Sofrim. As we explained, there are the Yishonim, the Torah ones, that go back to the giving of the Torah itself. And in other areas, you find that the Torah preceded the entire world altogether, as the Maimer Chazal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Stakil Baraisu Baramu, the Kodesh Baruch Hu looked into the Torah, so to speak, as a blueprint of the world, and from the Torah created the world. So Yishonim would most appropriately apply to the basic Torah, and Halalu Midivrei Sofrim, the Chadoshim, is a reference to the rabbinic teachings that were invented or put forth generation after generation for the purpose of creating a siyog, a method of defending or protecting Torah legislation. Dorash Rava, my dichtiv. What is the meaning of this pasuk? And we're looking at Koheles, Perek Yudbeis, pasuk Yudbeis. V'yoyshemeim or bni zoher asoy svarim harbe v'chulei. And this pasuk will be broken down in the next few lines. Bini Hizoher, Bedivrei Sofrim, the exhortation in this pasuk to be careful, Hizoher, is be careful with rabbinic teachings, Yosem Yidivrei Torah, more so than with Torah level teachings. Why? Shedivrei Torah, Yeshban Ase Velos Ase, within Torah, within what we'll call Dinim Doraisa, you have positive commands, you have negative commands. Even the negative commands, for the most part, are punishable by lashing. But neither aseh or standard los aseh have any death penalty associated with them. The divrei sofrim, when it comes to rabbinic teachings, kol over al divrei sofrim chayav misa, anyone who violates a rabbinic teaching is guilty of death. Shema toimar im yesh bohen mamish mitnei ma lo nichtavu. You might ask, well, if they have substance to them, they're so serious, then why weren't they written out? Omar kro, the pasuk says, asos svarim harbe ein kates. There is no limit to how much could be written if you wanted to have them written out initially. There would be no end to it, so that we're always books could be written in the realm of the Divrei Sofrim without any end. Velag harbe yigiyos basar. And as far as this is concerned, there are two approaches. Omar of Papa braid Rav Acha bar Adam Mishmei Rav Acha bar Ula Melameid. This teaches us shikol hamalig al Divrei Chachomim nidoin betzoya rosachas. Anyone who scoffs, who jeers at the words of the sages, is destined to suffer the fate of cooking or boiling in tsoa rosachas. Tsoa is dung, that is rosachas, that is boiling. Maskif la rava, miksiv la ag. Does the pasuk speak about la ag? La ag is jeering. Lahag ksiv. It's spelled lamet with a hey, lamet hey gimel. Elo kol ha-hoge bohen to'em ta'am basar. Rather, hoge means one who studies them will taste meat. one who studies, one who pursues Torah study. In order to truly appreciate the Torah, one has to study the Torah. And one who does that will taste the taste of meat, being something that represents, again, on an analogy level, something of richness, of pleasure. It should be pointed out that even though the pasuk is read the lahag with the hay, and the Rava mentions that you can't darshan a mali gal divrei chachamim from the pasuk, it doesn't necessarily deny the truthfulness of that statement. That statement remains, but just you don't see it from this pasuk. That one who jeers divrei chachamim is nidon b'tzoros achas. In fact, the Gemara in another mesichta darshens this from a pasuk that mentions gachale roisem, so that the drasha remains, just that we don't see it from this pasuk. But nevertheless, one has to be very respectful of rabbinic teachings. And in fact, in history, there have been some very notorious figures that jeered rabbinic teachings. And in fact, the Gemara says, if you can ever get a hold of an uncensored edition, you'll see who in fact that is referring to, and that his fate is eternal boiling in dung. We continue in the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a Tanaic source that features a story, and on the side of the Gemara under the Nosei, we have introduced this as Maisa, an incident, Hametaeris, Mesirus Nefesh, Rabbi Akiva, Al Mitzvahs, Netilas Yadayim, to show us how far Rabbi Akiva was willing to extend himself to fulfill the mitzvah, the rabbinic mitzvah of washing one's hands before a meal. The source says, Maisa b'Rabbi Akiva, Sheya Cholush Beis Asurim, an incident involving Rabbi Akiva while he was incarcerated. The Gemara in Maseches Brochas features an incident involving Rabbi Akiva becoming incarcerated for his teaching Torah in the public. So he was incarcerated, V'hoya Rabbi Yeshua Garsi Misharso, and Rabbi Yeshua was assigned the task, or had the honor of serving Rabbi Akiva. Every day, Rabbi Akiva was given a measure of water. One day, the guard saw him. Omar lo, the guard said, "Hayom meimecha merubin. I see that today you have a lot of water. Shema lachdor beis asurim atatzorch. Maybe you're scheming to escape the beis asurim, the jail." Shofa chetzion v'nosan lo chetzion. So the guard spilled out half and gave him back just half. Kishebo etzel Rabbi Kiva, Omar lo. When Rabbi Yeshua Garsi came to Rabbi Kiva, so Rabbi Kiva said, "Yeshua, ein atu yodea shezokein ani v'chayai tuluyin b'chayecha. Do you not know that I'm an old man and my life is dependent on you?" And Rabbi Kiva told him the whole incident with the guard spilling out half of the water. Omar lo, Rabbi Kiva said, "Tain li mayim shetel yodi. Give me water so I can wash my hands." Omar lo. So Rabbi Yeshua said, "Lishtos ein magien, litol yodcha magien. The amount of water that I can give you is not even enough for your drinking, and yet you want water for washing." Omar lo, "Ma'aseh, what can I do? Shechayovim aleihem misa. For eating a meal without washing one's hands, one is guilty of a death penalty." Of course, when we speak about rabbinic violations of death penalty, we don't mean death penalty at the hands of the court, but it's death at the hands of heaven. In other words, one who violates rabbinic teachings is risking his life at the hands of heaven. And therefore he said, "Mutov omus misas atzmi v'lo avor al das chaveirai." Rabbi Akiva says, "Better I should die die of thirst, than die as a result of violating the teachings of my colleagues." The Tosfos points out on this page, the second Tosfos, Mutav Mises, Omus Mises, Atzmi, Afal Gav, the Perakama Omer, Arba Dvor, Ptur B'machne, even though in the first, at the end of the first Perak of this Masechta, it was mentioned there are four elements, four things a person is exempt from in an army camp, and one of them is Rechitzas Yodayim, V'chol Shikei B'mokam Sakon, and certainly when a person's life is in danger, like in this case, with Rabbi Kiva having his life threatened through thirst. Machmir al atzmohoya. Nevertheless, Rabbi Kiva went beyond the letter of the law and was willing to risk his own life for the fulfillment of the teachings of the rabbis. Omru, it was said, and we continue in the Gemara, al lo toam klum ad shivi lo mayim v'nota yodav. Rabbi Kiva didn't eat anything, didn't have his meal, didn't have his bread, until they brought him water to wash his hands. When the Chachamim heard this story, they said regarding Rabbi Kiva, and who was at this time an elderly person, Ma bezeknuso kach bealduso alachas kama v'kama. Mind you, in his old age, he was like this. Can you imagine what he was like when he was young and full of vigor? Mind you, under such trying circumstances, look how he gives of himself. Under positive, healthy circumstances, all the more so. Omar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, B'shol Shetikein Shlomo Eruvin Until Sidayim, when King Solomon, when Shlomo Melech established Eruv and Netilas Yadayim, a heavenly voice came forth and said, "If you are wise, I too am happy." Another pasuk describing Shlomo HaMelech is this: that my son, how wise you are, and I am so happy. Dorash Rava, and we continue in our series of drushes concerning Rava, that Rava issued. My dichtiv l'chod odi neitzei hasod elonir b'kforim nashkime l'chormim nire imporcha gefen pita chasmodar ineitzei orim unim sham etenes dodai loch. And this pasuk from Shir HaShirim, pasuk Perek Zayin, pasuk Yud Beis, will be explained by the Gemara. You can see that as we go on in the next number of lines, the dashed underlining are the phrases from the pasuk that we'll be darshening. L'chod odi neitzei hasodeh, Omra Knesset Yisrael l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the congregation of Israel said to the Almighty Ribbono Shalom, Al tedineni k'yoshvei krochem, don't judge me like those who are sitting in cities. Sheyesh bem gezev harayas v'shvashov v'shvashaker. City dwellers are associated with merchants, as Rashi explains. And in the course of business dealings, there are lots of occasions for these offenses. There's theft, there's arayas, there's immorality, there's false oaths and lies taken under oath, lies stated under oath. So don't judge me like them. Therefore, Neitzei Hasada, hence the Pasuk, said, let us go out into the fields. What is that a reference to? I will show you Torah sages that are studying Torah and giving of themselves under arduous circumstances, all for the sake of the study of your Torah. Rashi says, Hasoda b'nei bago v'oivdei adoma v'oiskim b'torah mitoch hadchak. The soda is a reference to people who work the fields who were not known as wealthy, comfortable individuals, but people that struggled. And the pasuk is a reference to those who struggle in their Torah learning. Nolino b'kforim. Al tikri b'kforim. Don't read it as kfor meaning villages. Ela b'kofrim, which means bov erech oisam shishpatalim tova. I will show you, says the Knesset Yisrael, I will show you those that you gave them tova, lots of goodness, v'heim kofru boch, and they denied you. Nashkimo lakromim, elu botei knesius, botei midrashos. The pasuk says, let us arise to the vineyards. The vineyards is a reference to the shuls and the yeshivas, or the study halls of Torah. Nire im porcha hagefen, elu balei mikra. The blossoming of the vine is a reference to the people studying mikra. Mikra is the written Torah, the Torah shebiksav. Pitach hasmodar. Smodar are grapes in their very early stages of development. Elu Bale Mishnah. That's a reference to those who study Mishnayas. Heinetzu Rimoinim. Elu Bale Gemara. The Hanotza is a later stage of development of, in this case, the Rimon, often translated as a pomegranate, which is what's featured in this pasuk. So far, we've made reference to the Geffen. That's the vines, and in this case, now the Rimonim. That's the Bali Gemara, those who study Gemara. Shom etain es dodai loch, ereich kvodi v'godel shevach bonai v'nosai. There I will show you my honor and the praise of my sons and daughters. Omer Rav Hamnuna, mai dichti v'idaber shloishes alofim mosho v'ishiro shachamisha v'elef. Melameh, this pasuk, which mentions two numbers, mentions 3,000 and 1,005. Melameh shomar shlomal kol dover shel Torah shloshes alofim moshal. In this pasuk, there's a reference to Shlomo Melech's giving 3,000 explanations for each point in the Torah. Al kol dover v'dover shel sofrim chamisha ve'elef tomim, and regarding all points, every point of the Sofrim. Sofrim could be a reference to what we saw before. Divrei Sofrim is a reference to rabbinic teachings. Some will say some later Torah revelations or Torah teachings, 1,005 explanations for each point of the Divrei Sofrim. Torash Rava, Mai Dichti V'Yoyser Shoyerkos Chocham Oid Limei Das Esa'om V'Izein V'Chiker Tikein Mishalem Harbe. Again, a pasuk in Koheles Perek Yud Beis. Limei Esa'om, what is that? The Agmere B'Simone Te'omim V'Azbro B'Mai D'Domi Lei. He, Shlomo Melech, taught the nation with Simone Te'omim. There are different explanations as to what this is a reference to. Some associated with the Torah tune, the trup, the cantillation. Some explain the Maritz Chayas makes reference to Gemara here in Erevin Daf Nun Dalid, which says that when you learn Torah, you should make mnemonic devices, simone ta'amim. And he also, here the Gemara says, he explained things through comparing different topics one to the other. V'izein v'chiker tikein mishalom harbe Omar Ula Omar Rabbi Lezer b'tchila hoisa Torah doima l'kvifo she'en lo aznayim. At the beginning, before Shlomo Melech came, the Torah was like a kvifas, a basket that had no handles to it. That means if you want to carry the basket, you have to touch the basket itself, which means that until Shlomo Melech came, there were no, we'll call it rabbinic fences, distancing that protect Torah law. And therefore, if a person, let's say, stumbled, he would be stumbling directly on a Torah-level prohibition. Until Shlomo Melch came and made handles, and the handles are different rabbinic teachings that distance a person from sinning. Rashi cites he came along and established Eruvin. For example, the concept of Hoitzah B'Shabbos, the Halach of Hoitzah B'Shabbos. Hoitzah B'Shabbos means you cannot carry from a private domain to a public domain. In order to keep a person distant from that, there's an institution called Eruv, Eruv Chatzeros. Eruv Chatzeros means even if you have two private domains, but they're held, they're owned by separate owners. You can have a courtyard, for example, which is an entity that is totally enclosed, so it's not a public thoroughfare, but it's owned jointly by several people. Eruv Chatzeros says that unless these people make an effort to join together, they are viewed in the chotzer as a public domain, and you cannot carry from the chotzer into a house. Let's say a person would do that. Well, even if he did it, he's at worst he's violating a rabbinic teaching. But by having such a teaching on the books, it creates awareness on the part of the masses that public areas are banned from carrying from them into private domains. And by having these teachings, it creates heightened awareness and hence distancing of people from violating actual Torah teachings, actual hotzah, actual carrying from a real street, a real public thoroughfare into a house. There are other halachas in the realm of, we'll call it the realm of morality, where relationships between men and women, certain dealings, certain levels of contact between men and women are prohibited so as to keep one distant from an actual Torah level prohibition. But without getting into any vivid details, suffice it to say that there are many aspects of Torah law, of teaching, of halacha, that keeps men without contact with women, where even if you would tell me the contact was the physical contact would be of a only a rabbinic level violation, but nevertheless by banning that, so it will keep people away from an actual act of intimacy. Whereas if there was no rabbinic prohibition, so people would have physical contact with that's men and women, and let's say going from there, from that point to an actual act of intimacy is a very short hop, skip, and jump. And it would be very easy for people to stumble on the actual Torah principle, the Torah prohibition. Therefore, there's a need for, as the Gemara describes it, handles on the basket so that you don't come to touch the basket itself, what we call gzeros and syogim, to protect the Torah from being violated. The Pasuk in Shir HaShirim Perek Hei Pasuk Yud Aleph says, Kvutzoisov Taltanim, Omar Rav Chisda, Omar Ma'ukva, Malameid Sheish Lidrosh. This teaches us that you have to expound, I'll call Kutz V'Kutz, on each letter of the Torah. In a traditional Torah script, you'll notice that there are crowns or little protrusions from the tops of the letters. That's what a kotz is. So this pasuk, kutzosav, is the plural of the word, in this case, in this drasha, of the word kotz. Taltalim, in this context, it's taken to mean tilei tilim, which are mountains upon mountains of halachas. And this fits in very well to the drasha we saw earlier in today's shir, that that the Torah is the vastness of the Torah, that even every little nuance of the Torah, every little protrusion from a letter, could be the source of endless numbers of halachas. Shchoros ke'orev, also in the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, b'mi'ata moitzan, in whom does one find all of this Torah learning? B'mi, now we have a number one here, so we'll have a couple of drushes on this. You will find it b'mi, we continue at the top of Dav Chof Beis, b'shemashkim u'mariv aleim lebeis ha-medrash. He who toils, who gets up early, mashkim is staying up early, mariv is staying late in the Beis Medrash. And the word in the pasuk of shchoros that we saw in the shchoros ke'orev, shchoros is taken to mean like shacharis, morning, and orev is like ma'ariv, the evening. Rabba Omar, b'mishe mashri ponov aleim ke'orev. You will find Torah learning in he who blackens his face over them like the orev. The orev is a type of bird, sometimes translated as a raven, a black bird. One who blackens himself, it means one who does with very little creature comforts, and his complexion turns dark as a result. he is sacrificing his creature comforts for the purpose of Torah study. So someone like that you will find to be a container of vast amounts of Torah learning, as we describe. Number three, Rava Omar B'misha Mesim Atzmo Achzori Albonov. And just take note of that this drosha lasts a few lines, and we have a long point marking. Rava says that you will find Torah learning in someone who makes himself Achzori Albonov V'al B'nei Beso Ke'orev. Now we'll translate this Gemara, and it certainly requires further elaboration than that which we will provide, but the Orev bird is portrayed as one who is merciless with regard to its offspring, and Rashi makes reference to this point on the second line from the top, from the Pasuk Ketilim Kuf Mem Zayin Livnei Orev Sheikro, the Bnei Orev are the chicks of the Orev bird. The parent doesn't take care of its children. VaKodesh Baruch Hu Mezamei Lem Yitushin VeNichnasun Sokpi, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu therefore causes Yitushin, little insects that fly around, and they fly right into the mouths of these newborn Orev birds. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu has to directly take care of their feeding, their maintenance, because the parent doesn't do it. What Rava is describing here is, if you can just imagine a type of personality that, and it may be in somewhat noble terms, feels a need to preoccupy, and I use the word preoccupy here advisedly. He preoccupies himself with his children and his household, and a person can find himself investing inordinate amounts of time dealing with his children and his household, fixing every leak and making sure every snack and every aspect of every meal three times a day is taken care of, and he does all of this. You can imagine the amount of time necessary for someone to accomplish all of those things. If one does that, so the ability to become great in Torah learning, you can see, would be quite restricted. On the other hand, one who limits the amount of time he preoccupies himself with those matters will afford him with the chance of growing quite a bit in Torah learning. Of course, what we're saying, everyone can realize, has its pitfalls and can sound something that needs, as we said before, further qualification. But suffice it to say, I highly recommend looking at the Gemara in Ksubas Daf Samach Beis to see there a phenomenal story of one of the great Amoroyim who, in fact, did not preoccupy himself with his Bonav and Bnei Beso, and what results came forth anyway. We continue here in the Gemara. So Rava says that in whom will you find Torah greatness? One who is Mesim Atzmo Achzori, one who makes himself Achzori, is a person who is, the opposite of someone who preoccupies himself. Achzori could mean someone who is mean with regard to his bonov and b'nei beso, ke'orev, like the orev bird. Now, it doesn't mean that they oppress their offspring, but it does mean that they don't preoccupy themselves with their offspring. Ki ha de Rav Ada bar Matana havikozu lebei Rav. Rav Ada was on his way to the yeshiva to study Torah. Omro le devisu, and his wife called out, Yanuki didoch my avid luhu, your children, what am I supposed to do with them? You're running off to study Torah, how am I supposed to feed the children? Omar law, so he told them, Mishlimu kurmi ba'agma, are there no more kurmi? Kurmi is a type of vegetation, edible vegetation, growing in the fields. Apparently it was something that was grew wild in the fields. So as far as the children having something to eat, they have something to eat. I don't have to stand every morning frying omelets and cooking up oatmeal and squeezing freshly pressed orange juice for them. And hence, as far as the basic maintenance of the children, that can be accomplished anyway, even if I happen to be running out to study Torah. Once again, these are topics that need much more elaboration, and the proper perspective must be placed on each issue. However, if you go through all of the Shas, you will see references in many different places to how to balance things, so to speak, and how to work things out. A believing Jew is always cognizant of the fact that there is the Almighty involved, so that if you look in the Rambam, you can see makes reference to that which you see already in Mishnayos in Maseches Avos, of people who take upon themselves the yoke of Torah, the other types of cheshbonos and obligations will be taken care of the Almighty Himself. So one needs to have a composite general picture of life before one can come to any immediate conclusions. The pasuk says, "Umishalim l'soinov elponov lahavidoi." The elponov, Rashi says, "Elponov shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu." The face referred to here is the face of the Almighty, so to speak. The doyme loy kemasli lefonov. Gemara will explain. Amar Rabbi Yishur ben Levi, "Ilmoli mikro kosov." If not for the Torah saying this, "Ef shalomro," it would be something that we could not say. Kiviyochol, it's as if to say, Ka'odam shenoisei masi alponov, umavakish lashlichu mimenu. It's as if someone is carrying a burden on his face and he wants to throw it off. The Pasuk is referring to the wicked, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to get rid of them, because they are like a burden to him. Lo ya'acher l'sono. This is a Pasuk in Dvarim, Perek Zion, Pasuk Yud, a continuation of the Pasuk we just saw. Omar of Elah, Lison of Hu, the Lo Yacher, Avol Yacher with Tzadikim Gemurim. He doesn't delay in payment to those that are haters, that hate him, but he will delay the payment to the righteous. Now that sounds very perplexing. The Gemara explains, Vahainu Domer Bishu Ben Levi, this idea that the Kodesh Baruch Hu delays in payment is expounded upon by Rabbi Shulben Levi. He said, "My dichtiv asher anochi mitzavuch hayom lasoisom." Another posuk in Dvarim, the Torah and mitzvahs I've commanded for you to do today. Hayom lasoisom v'lo l'mocher lasoisom. Mitzvah performance is accomplished in this world, not in the world to come. After death, Rashi says, "Shalachar misa lasid lavo." After death, in the world to come, if a person thinks he's going to do a mitzvah, it's not going to help him at all. There's a saying that he who prepares on Friday has what to eat on Shabbos. So one has to prepare himself in this world in order to benefit in the next world. So it's this world, hayom lasosam, not lemochar, not tomorrow to do them. Hayom lasosam, lemochar lekabosharm. Today, meaning in this world, this is the world for doing, for action. It's not the world for receiving reward. That is in the next world. Hence, the idea of the Kodesh Baruch Hu delaying the payment to the righteous, that happens in the next world. As far as the wicked are concerned, the few mitzvahs that they do perform, they get their reward in this world and their punishment in the next world. Omar Rav Chagi, v'itemo Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni. Rav Chagi, some other name versions, Rav Shmuel says, "My dichtiv erech apayim." Erech af miboyalei. The word apayim is a word in the plural, and this pasuk has to do with long suffering or patience, or is a length of time. But why the plural? Why the double expression apayim? Elo. Erech apayim letzadikim, erech apayim lerishoyim. The Rashi explains, apayim, the upper part of the narrow lines, mashma ponim, the term ponim literally is a face, but a face expresses emotion, sometimes joy and sometimes wrath. So the Rashi explains, bein sochakos, apayim, a face of joy, bein zoumos, a face of wrath and anger, displeasure, consternation, apayim sochakos, the face of joy and happiness, ma'arich umeacher. Ma'arich means he lengthens in time, umeacher, and delays letzadikim, the face of joy he delays with regard to the righteous loss of love until the future, the world to come. V'apayim zerumos, ma'arich l'rishoyim, the face of wrath and displeasure toward the wicked, he also delays, umeacher puranusalom haba, and delays their punishment till the world to come. And all of this comes from a sense of mercy, where the Kodesh Baruch Hu is waiting and waiting and waiting for the wicked to repent. And if after waiting so much they don't, they continue in their wicked ways, so in the world to come is their punishment. And in contrast to the tzaddikim, who are able to withstand the trials and tribulations and maintain their righteousness, so their reward is the primary reward is in the world to come. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.